Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, January the 8th, 2026. Hey, I still haven't gotten that wrong yet. January the 8th, 2026, 1 week into the new year. Boy, time's just flying right by. Only 51 weeks left in 2026. It'll go by before you know it. 15 minutes past the hour, and we are glad this morning, especially with the heavy-duty news cycle yesterday, to be joined in studio by, we're just calling him the youngest delegate ever, to the youngest delegate to the 2024 Democratic National Convention. Always good to have him in the studio, 2 hours live this morning. Passing through Marion, Christian Pearson. Christian, how you doing?
I am all right, Scott. It's nice to be here. I couldn't think of anywhere I would want to be when there are newsworthy events going on.
What a day yesterday was, certainly on the state level.
Certainly on the state level, yes. You know, I feel like, you know, it all came by so fast. I was expecting some more, you know, I was expecting it to be a bit more drawn out, like the vice presidential selection, but evidently not.
Well, even after yesterday morning's program, news continued to happen. I mean, the day just seemingly was nonstop state news, and I don't know if it was planned that way. I don't know what the inner machinations really were of that yesterday. Why do you think so much news around one race, the gubernatorial race, all happened within about 6 hours?
I would have to imagine that the deadline is pretty soon to file, because I know when you file for governor, you have to file your lieutenant governor at the same time. So I'm going to guess that is, you know, when. But I, you know, I would have liked to see the Democrats not, you know, I would have liked to see them hold a big event like the Republicans did. I know the Republican, or the, I know the Acton and David Pepper had a small round table, but it was in the middle of the day and it sort of got drowned out by the rally for the Republicans at night. So I would have liked to see them have a rally of their own and not do it on the same day.
Well, I want to talk about that because this is something I really could not quite wrap my mind around. Everybody pretty knew more or less for the last week that Vivek Ramaswamy was going to announce his lieutenant governor candidate yesterday. And let's take this phone call, then we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, there's some bigger news than that that happened yesterday.
What's that?
ICE killed a...
Well, there's that.
A woman?
Yes, in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis, they had a lot... They had all kinds of protests there and several other cities.
There was even a little protest last night in Columbus, I believe. In front of the state house, I think.
A few cities, but they don't normally show Columbus. We're not quite that big yet.
Well, it wasn't a big one last night, but there were people out in front of the state house.
Did you see how she got shot?
No, I was actually doing a taping here last night. I didn't get that far into it.
They're trying to say that the woman tried to run over him,
which is complete nonsense.
But he was at the side of the car when he shot.
So,
that's totally ridiculous. I tell you, just same old thing. One every day, there's something new on.
So
about him and I. And then they had a, I don't know, senator or somebody die on the Republican side.
I believe it was so a congressman. I think.
I think.
Yeah.
They're only in the majority of two now.
Yeah, I think it was a congressman. Yeah.
You know, maybe I could go down and kill a couple.
don't say that. Don't say that. No. You know what? I really can't speak all that intelligibly about what has happened with the ICE situation, only to say that, boy, I'll tell you, these things seem to happen in weird places with all the trouble Minnesota's been going through in Minneapolis the last few days.
They say in what was it, daycare scam or something
so
like that?
So this is why, this is what, you know, it's, the reason why it happened in Minnesota was the Trump administration and ICE, they kept poking the bear. And at some point, something horrible is going to happen like this. And if you watch the tape, every Republican on planet Earth must have, like, you know, problems with their eyes. Because all of them on CNN and the news last night said that this woman was trying to run over an ICE agent. That's what the Department of Homeland Security said. That's what all the Republicans are saying. But if you watch the tape, there are many different angles because there were a lot of people recording. She was trying to swerve out of the way of hitting another car and just leave the situation. And that's when, you know, the ICE officer shot her once through her windshield and twice through her open driver's window in the face. And she died. And, you know, because she was still in the driver's seat, her car continued on down the street and she hit another vehicle.
So, I don't think the cop was far enough, you know, up front to go through the windshield.
Well, or I saw a picture of, there was one bullet hole through the window, which that begs the question. The other two were probably through the open driver's window. But, you know, the point.
I see it. I mean,
this, the, you know,
what was she? 10 feet from the guy when he shot?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't pose a threat at all. And if someone's quoted on CNN last night, the Department of Homeland Security, you know, rules of engagement, one, you don't stand in front of a moving vehicle like that ICE agent did, nor do you fire at a moving vehicle. So, you know, in a just society, there would be, you know, I remember when murder was illegal. I think it's illegal in all 50 states. I know the federal government won't bring charges, but the state of Minnesota, they have prosecutors, they have an attorney general, they have a prison system.
Well, it just seems, you know, just every day there's, you know, just like the Venezuelan, you know, invasion. Nobody's notified, no senator, no House of Representatives, nobody in Congress.
You know, speaking of that Venezuela issue, which all week I've been saying I do not understand what's going on there, because depending on who's giving the press conference, the news seems to change. It's my understanding now that that Maduro's vice president was sworn in, and she is in charge over there, and
well,
that she
kind of run, but they're. Yeah, but there's a few different factions over there in certain areas.
Well, but my understanding is she is just about as bad as Maduro was, and probably could be brought up on just about the same charges that he is being brought up on. Now, why in the world, if we're running that country since Saturday, are we letting this woman be sworn? And I'm not saying that we should run the country, but if we are, because that's what we keep being told, why are we letting this dictator be sworn in and essentially make the decisions for the country now? And again, as I asked on Monday morning, if we truly are running this country, which they keep saying we are, why have the political prisoners not been released?
I don't even think they know who's running the country, really.
I mean, you can't.
I mean, they could have picked her up when they picked, you know, the other guy up. I mean, just don't.
I've never heard of taking the head of the government, but leaving the government in place that you were so upset with.
I mean, this would have been like George W. Bush, the United States capturing Saddam Hussein and leaving. Like, we cannot run a country by proxy, especially one, you know, that we committed a hostile act against. You know, again, Trump is, you know, all the Republicans in the government are America first. They went after Biden so hard for giving money to Ukraine, for having, you know, minimal foreign intervention in other countries. And Trump wants to invade Greenland. He wants to invade Venezuela. Like, I just don't know. I'm really curious if it will ever click for anybody that this is not America first. But, you know, all the Democrats are evil, so, you know, I'm not sure it will.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling in. Stay tuned. I'm sure we've got a lot to talk about this morning.
Okay.
Thanks. Well, yeah, the killing with ICE last night certainly, or yesterday, certainly was big news. I don't quite understand it, to be honest with you, how things like this continue to happen. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, yes.
There is footage recently. It was posted, I think, within 3 or 4 hours ago. I saw on YouTube a different angle of the ICE officers surrounding that Honda, I don't know which Honda it was, Passport or whatever, and what had occurred. And all I can say is do a little bit of research, take a look at it, and then draw your conclusion.
Well, see, here's the problem, though, with the footage I haven't seen any of the footage, to be honest with you. The problem is that whatever footage people have seen through the different angles, obviously they are going to believe. And whatever footage you have seen, you're going to believe. And
I'm
that's,
not believing anything. I'm just putting forth, draw your own conclusions with the most recent camera angle footage.
Right. Well, I guess the problem is that if there were camera angles released that made it look as if there was no danger to the ICE agents, then the fact that somebody has to find a camera angle to dispute that, we've got problems already.
It's another view, another point of view, and you have to take a look at all angles. Some angles, just like a John Wayne punch in the face, that was a short focal length. That looked like a punch in the face, but it wasn't. So you can't, what you see isn't necessarily a true reflection of reality.
Now, where did you see this footage?
I look at so many. I look at CNN, NBC, MS, or whatever they call it these days, ABC, all of them. And this one, I can't remember where it was, but it was recent, like within, I know it was within 4 hours it was posted on YouTube.
Well, see, here is my problem, I guess, with the whole thing then. And maybe what you're saying is true. Like I said, I have not seen the footage. Matter of fact, I hadn't seen the first batch of footage because I was doing some things last night. But the problem is when something like this happens, I'm not sure why the group, because obviously they know where the camera angles are, why don't they get that footage out immediately?
What do you mean, the group?
Well, ICE, I would guess.
Well, all of these camera angles are coming. ICE wouldn't, you know, release anything. It's all the protest, or the, I guess, spectators who were lining the streets yesterday who were recording on their phones just in case anything happened and something did happen. And as more and more people start to send them out to the press, like, hey, I've got something too, then they'll become, so it's not the guy.
This, I believe, was body cam footage one of the ICE people.
Really? That would be surprising on account of, in the last few months, we haven't known ICE to be, you know.
Well, that's what they keep saying. We don't have that footage, or we're not going to release it because it's not necessary. Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily true. It depends on who the information officer is and how much to dispel or try to quell mass hysteria. You know, one important thing that's really been overlooked, when you have, and for lack of a better description, this is a police action. When a policeman tells you to do something and you're surrounded by a bunch of other policemen, particularly heavily armed, that is not the time to talk constitutional law. That is the time to keep your mouth shut and do what you are told. Now, once you get your day in court, that's the time to talk.
Well, what happened here? yesterday? I mean, what's the narrative?
What do you mean, what's the narrative?
I mean, how was this woman killed? What was she doing? Why did this have to be done?
From what I saw, and from multiple angles, and then this morning, the other angles. Because quite frankly, the ones that I had seen that were all over the place, everybody was running with, you couldn't see the one cop that was in front. And I believe there were two off to the side that were, maybe within 5 feet. And then there were some that were back a little further. But this footage is a really good angle because the one that they're alleging she drove over or tried to run over, she was stopped. There were two ICE agents communicating to her. But the big question is, did she speak Ingi? All these Somalis that have even lived here for over 20 years, they speak English, but they like to dummy up and be the poor immigrant.
She was a white woman based on what I saw.
She wasn't Somali, I don't think.
Well, even if she wasn't, let's say she spoke English.
Well, I think she was. She was an American, wasn't she? Yeah.
Well, regardless, again, yeah, there are cops there, heavily armed. Quite frankly, I'd have probably shit myself, you know, to do that. She was probably fight or flight mode. But the fact of the matter is, people don't understand. When a cop tells you to do something, you shut up, you do it, you don't say anything until you have your legal representation. You fight in court, not in the streets.
The thing that doesn't make any sense is someone found Department of Homeland Security policy, and there were two of them that officer didn't follow. You're not supposed to stand in front of the vehicle when it might be moving, and you're not supposed to fire at or into a moving vehicle. So,
are you quoting that verbatim?
Well, there was some law enforcement officer who went on CNN last night. He's their expert, and that's what he, you know.
Well, hey, you know, experts have been proven wrong time and time again. The fact of the matter is, you and I, or anybody, will not ever know, because we weren't there, we didn't see it in 3D. All we have is what imperfections there are in cameras and camera angles. So, for people to play the Monday morning quarterback and say, oh, this has happened, oh, this is horrible. Well, hey, all the Somalis and all the people that have allowed the ripoff of the taxpayers are always going to be, oh, she didn't do anything, she was there supporting us.
Well, see, isn't this the problem, though? Because obviously, by what you've just said, you don't believe they did anything wrong. That's what you believe.
I don't know.
You don't.
All I know from what I saw is.
But you're making a lot of inferences about Somalis that I don't know are true on the whole.
We know it to be fact. What's going on in Minneapolis? All of these things. You've got the hornet's nest all stirred up. People are in a frenzy. It's mass hysteria.
I think a question worth exploring is, were we hearing much about Minnesota in Minneapolis? Was there mass chaos there before the federal government deemed it necessary to send in troops? In fact, in many of these places, we saw in Los Angeles early last year, we saw in Columbus for a short period of time before they left, that when you add federal forces to anything, and it's not just a Trump thing, it's, you know, when Rodney King, when those riots were taking place in Los Angeles in the 90s, when the federal government came in, there were, you know, heightened tensions. Anytime you bring the federal government in as law enforcement, you saw it, you know, or not with Kent State, that was the National Guard, but my point stands, you risk adding fuel to the fire, and in, you know.
Well, there's a particular, extremely different situation here. You have the governor of the state. We don't want you. We can patrol. We can do it ourselves. Whereas with Los Angeles, with the Rodney King, etc., the governor didn't say, no, keep out. We can do it ourselves. They realized they needed help. The whole state government, apparently, again, generally speaking, is in denial. They don't think anything is wrong with what's been going on. And now, the curtain has been pulled back, and we see who's running the machinery. And we see all of the problems. And all of these people, for generations, a couple generations anyhow, their rice bowl is being taken away from them.
We're getting some comments from getting some comments from listeners out here this morning. Even in a police action, police must maintain the law and their composure. Mass hysteria, run and hide. And basically, comments like you're making, the listener out there is saying, is fear-mongering.
I don't quite understand fear-mongering.
Well, because you keep alluding to Somalis, and that this...
Well, look at the news. Look at the reports of the corruption that's going on.
Okay, how much corruption is going...
Look at the people trying to intimidate some of the reporters. They're trying to cover the story and ask legitimate questions.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Wexner is involved in the Epstein scandal because he was subpoenaed by Congress yesterday?
Do I think, you know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he was. Well, I don't have a clue.
No, but so we should probably be suspicious of all white billionaires because look at what
Christ
they're doing.
Sakes.
But that's what you're doing.
No, that's illogical.
How many Somalis are involved in
the
scandal?
And the information that the news agencies have put out, gee whiz, I want to lobby the Roman Catholic Church to canonize all of these people. You get my sarcasm there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess this is where we are again.
See, that's what the media does.
Yeah, I understand.
The media gets public opinion, forms public opinion with how they present information or how they don't present information. That's why everything, it has to be settled in a court. And if you can't be civilized about doing a protest or whatever you're doing, particularly, I don't care if a cop pulls you over and says you were speeding, etc. That's the time to shut your mouth, and when he asks for something, you're not going to speak until your legal representative, your attorney, is there to advise you, and then you duke it out in a court of law. Too many people forget that. They get emotional. They get fight or flight. And these are the kinds of things that happen.
But are a lot of those people dead?
A lot of who? What people?
The people who flee from police officers, the people who even shoot at police officers.
Why do
sometimes?
You think a lot of people were protesting defund the police? Because the police were not really doing what they should have been doing, and they're shooting people when they shouldn't be shooting people. And a lot of people, a lot of cops, think that they can go break into a house without a search warrant. Now, those are the small minority, most likely. Generally, the police are honest. It's the rotten apples. It's the ones that don't understand, the ones that aren't really trained enough and coached enough to do the job properly. So that's why, hey, all of the citizens, anytime a cop tells you to do something, do it. Don't know ifs, ands, or buts. Just do it. Don't answer any questions. Tell them you'd like to exercise your Fifth Amendment rights, period. And I believe, did I quote that right? Fifth Amendment. Yeah. At any rate, you won't say anything until your legal representation is there, period.
Well, I would just like to say something in defense of the media here, because the media tends to get blamed for everything that happens nowadays. And
there's
that's
no regulation of media.
Well, there is.
And the stations.
Well, the FCC, I believe, regulates the CNN, MS, whatever it is, Fox News. They are regulated by the FCC.
And if you report in a way that the administration does not like, you will see your press pass taken away, like they did at the Pentagon, like they've done at the White House.
But I guess my point is here, is when people keep saying the media is biased and the media reports to what's salacious and so on and so forth, in some cases, of course, that's true. But in those cases, they're not reporting the story with no truth. They're just reporting a salacious story that really doesn't have a great impact on society. If they reported facts that were not facts and called them facts, they could be sued, and they could be opened up to having their license yanked by the Federal Communications Commission. What I want to know is, you know, there's all this talk of media bias, but how many reports have been done on viewer bias, listener bias?
Here's one even further than that, Scott. How can you say any media outlet is not biased?
They're biased.
If they were unbiased and fair and accurate, why do they have sponsors? Why do they generate revenue? Why? What's the impetus?
Well, you got to stay in business
for them to get sponsorship so that they can generate a revenue stream.
Well, they've got to stay in business. How are they going to pay the rent? How are they going to pay the electricity? How are they going to pay for that FCC license, which does cost money?
Well, you just answered the whole thing. They have sponsors. And if they piss off the sponsors, that revenue stream's gone. Now they got to get another sponsor. So they, to varying degrees, pander to who their sponsors are.
If a political entity
forks out a lot of dollars in advertising, hey.
Okay, so that's to say, I guess, if somebody, if Coca-Cola doesn't like what you're reporting, Coca-Cola is going to pull their sponsorship. I mean, that's been happening for years. That's why sponsors should not have a say in what's going on in programming. But the point is that anybody who would tell you that a political group is running a network to force their bias through sponsorship, I don't think that's where the problem is. The problem is coming from the billionaires in most cases who own a lot of these networks. And, you know, unfortunately, that's where it is. But it's not going to be fixed anytime soon.
And the shell corporations and everything else, it all comes down to economics. Whoever has the most bucks pushes the agenda.
Well, like I say, you can take any story, and people are pretty consistent. If you listen to this show, callers are consistent. You know, people will tell you who they vote. People will deny who they voted for, but just by people's comments, you can tell which way they're going. It's not that hard.
Well, just by people's actions and your comments. Exactly. Now, apply that to everything in the dynamics surrounding Minnesota.
Yeah, I haven't said anything about it. The only thing I've said is I haven't seen any of the footage. I haven't seen anything.
Oh, Scott, you're going off into the ether there.
I didn't say that.
From now on is just people, the best thing you can do anytime a cop tells you to do something, do it. And tell them you don't answer any questions until your attorney is present. Preserve your rights. And with that, tikkun olam.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you have a response, Christian?
I mean, we all have a right to life, liberty, and property under the Constitution, and now this woman no longer has her life, so, I mean, she tried to assert her right by living. And something else. Now this can go you know, for the folks in Columbus who are trying to bang on the doors of daycares, and the folks in Minnesota, we have, when we were talking about the legal system, we have robust legal systems. Why haven't there been no charges brought against these Somali daycare owners if they're, you know, running rampant fraud? We haven't seen it.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Terry, I mean, that was some of the most racist talk that I've heard in a long time. I mean, I don't know how many times you sarcastically said Somalis. But, Terry, here's the big question. You say do what the cop tells you. Well, they do not have a due process in court. Those Somalis are getting sent over, and there's no due process. Are they being killed over there? Nobody knows. So, would you want ICE to take you? Think about it.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Well, a lot, you know, I guess I knew this story was a big story because I could see the protests last night, but really I just have not had a chance to look into it to any deep degree. I'm not sure what happened here.
It would be helpful if there was video of, you know, maybe the 3 or 4 minutes before this happened, because then you could see, well, you know, what was the woman doing with her car? I mean, yeah, you can find footage that, you know, fits what you want to believe. And if the administration is saying this woman is a domestic, well, if this woman was a domestic terrorist, she was trying to run over an ICE agent, when there's footage that can dispute that, but there's also footage that's not super clear. You can find something to fit your narrative, which, I mean, but it, you know, it's a videotape, so it's pretty hard to dispute what you're seeing. And, you know, every other person on the planet Earth might have it right, and I might be wrong. You know, she might have been trying to run the cop over. That's not what it looked like to me. But I don't know. When you bring the federal government in, and a governor says, you know, we're good, we can handle this, we have, you know, state police, we have sheriffs, we have the, you know, police in Minneapolis, we have the National Guard, you know, the federal government should listen, because not only is the, you know, state not being welcoming, that probably means the people are not going to be welcoming. I mean, you saw in Columbus, there were some people that found where the ICE officers in Columbus were staying, what hotel they were at. They, you know, were protesting at the hotels overnight to keep them from sleeping, and they left. You know, that's, I don't know. You know, if a governor says, get out of our state, then, you know, I would probably listen to the governor.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, love your city. To the guy who called in and said I was a racist, still thinks I'm a racist, because my girlfriend, who didn't happen to be quite as dark as some of the other people in Oakland, was murdered. So, call me a racist.
Thank you. I didn't realize you weren't done there. Call back in if you want to finish the thought there. I thought you were done. 740-383-9944. But just to be clear, I don't think he called him a racist. I think he said that was some of the most racist stuff that he had heard.
You can be a, you know, normal person, but you could say something racist, and that doesn't mean you are one, but it means that your comments were. But again, it is a, you know, very hot, it's a very hot buzzword, so if you hear it, you know, you automatically put your guard up.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Terry, if the shoe fits, you wear it. My name is not Guy. You've listened to this long enough. My name is Lee Domini, D-O-M-I-N-Y. Wear your shoe. I hope they kill your feet.
Well, it's an interesting morning to be here, Christian.
I know. I wish I would have. You know, I wish we had twice as long. You have your first 2 hours are just all callers who go back and forth, and then the last 2 hours are the ones where we.
Yeah, talk. For,
but I don't. I mean, a woman was killed in half of the country. Is in, you know, that's how every, you know, everything is political. In, you know, I don't know. Just me personally, there needs to be a. Because I have no faith that the federal government will conduct a fair investigation. I think the state needs to conduct an investigation, and if any charges are warranted, so be it. And, you know, that'll be an interesting legal question. Does a state government have the authority to charge a member of federal law enforcement?
See, why is everything political or looked at through the political lens? See, I do not understand that. I've never thought when looking at a story, well, does this benefit the Democrats or the Republicans, and that's how I'm going to report on it. I don't quite understand that. There's a lot of things that both parties do wrong, and we'll talk about those next hour when we talk about what happened in the state yesterday. But I don't understand exactly why. That's how we greet everything. It's, okay, well, where do we stand on the issue? And then that gives us our opinion on the specific incident that happens. I don't understand that. Isn't it okay to hold both thoughts in your brain that maybe I agree with Trump's immigration policy, but I think what happened in Minneapolis yesterday was completely wrong? Can't you do that? Can't you hold both thoughts in your head at the same time?
You know, I think because ICE has not been popular, we remember in 2018-19 when they were separating, I mean, they still are, but that's when their family separation policy came into effect, and that's when the anti-ICE sentiment started to, you know, come into play. And then when you're doing what you're doing this year, you are sending people away to foreign torture prisons without any due process, even if they're U.S. citizens, you're not going to be looked at very favorably. So naturally, like and dislike of ICE has become a political issue. And of course, the, you know, Republicans in the Trump administration, ICE is sort of their baby. And, you know, they've said, you know, ICE can never do any wrong. Well, ICE did wrong yesterday, you know, even if, you know, regardless of what the circumstances were, that is a level of escalation that I don't think any law enforcement, officer is taught. So I think the Republicans are trying to protect their interests, their, you know, ICE, whom they support, and, you know, everybody else watch the tape. And, you know, so I think because of the political hostility of the time we are in and the way that, you know, all of the undertones. ICE, you know, it's there for immigration, but they're also in Minneapolis because of racist attacks on the Somali community. There's so many layers and just so many people. You know, just what happened to, at least when Biden was president, he had his flaws, but you were not glued to CNN every day.
No, and here's the thing. Okay, and I'm still waiting. What is the proof that there is fraud in Ohio? Because the governor has said
there's none.
Has to bat it down through press conferences. Rumor. Now, so where's that? Where's that fraud? Again, if there is fraud, let's report on it. Let's be media. Let's report on it. But you're reporting through rumor. And the governor has to answer rumors because people believe it. I don't think people really believe to the degree that people believe everything they see. I don't think they really understand that. And this is a problem.
Speaking of Columbus, you know, there's a fringe group of people on Twitter. They're, you know, statewide Republican activists who are very clearly unemployed because why are you running around, you know, downtown Columbus during the day for no reason. They're going, you know, the names of Somali-owned child care businesses that are receiving state money, obviously their names and addresses are publicly available, so they're taking cameras and large groups of people trying to get trying to bust down these doors of these child care facilities. And when they impede onto private property, the owners of the daycare have kids in there that, you know, they have to protect the kids from being, you know, having their faces shot, recorded. And, you know, that's stirring up drama, because when these people with the cameras get kicked out, they're like, well, they kicked us out, they must have something to hide. No, you got kicked out because there are kids in there and you can't record kids. But so that's just still, it still boggles my mind. But we've had a Republican auditor of state since, I think, 1991. The last Democrat was Tom Ferguson. He served with Mary Ellen. So we've had, you know, 35 years of Republican auditors of state who, this is their job to make sure the public money is being spent appropriately. So this is a horrible indictment on Keith Faber, on, I think, Dave Yost was the auditor before Keith Faber, on Mary Taylor, on, you know, Ken Blackwell, you know, on every Republican who's held office in the last 35 years as the state auditor. If they have allowed such a rampant scheme of fraud to take place, you know, that's a huge indictment on the Ohio Republican Party if their auditors are incapable of finding fraud.
Well, here's to the degree, and this is not a political story, that people really don't pay attention to what's going on. And this kind of bothers me in a way. The Marion Star ran a story last Friday on the history of broadcasting in Marion. And a lot of the famous broadcasters of the last 85 years in Marion were on the front of the newspaper and probably had not been there in some time. One of those was Joe Ione, who, in my opinion, was the greatest newsman in Marion. And Joe Ione's son, I'm guessing because of that article, was looking up his father's name. And he saw, a message or a post I had made when his father had died. And he had not seen it at the time. So he posted and said, "Hey, I just saw this now. I didn't see it at the time. Thank you for posting this." And I replied to him. I said, "No problem. I thought your father was the best in the business." And then, because that post got reignited, because people were posting on it for the first time in years, all of a sudden people were commenting on that post, you know, 10 or 12 people, "Condolences on your father, condolences on your father, condolences on your father. He was a part of my childhood. Condolences on your father." Joe Ione's been dead since 2013. That post was from 2013. 13 years old. It's dated. They don't even look at that. They don't know that the man's been gone for more than a decade. They're looking at a post that has a date on it, but they don't even look at the date. And it's "condolences on your father," like he died yesterday. "Prayers to the family." Now, this is the world we live in. People don't pay attention. It just got reignited because the son commented on it.
No one pays attention to anything. I mean, I was just talking about state politics. Let's talk about local politics. City employees have not been paid in, like, for, like, was this a problem under Scott Schertzer?
Where paid properly.
City employees weren't getting paid properly? Was this a problem under, you know, previous city auditors and previous city treasurers? I'm going to go out on a limb and guess, you know, not to this degree. You know, it's pretty simple to make sure that people get paid. I mean, the Republicans are the party of fiscal conservatism. They're the ones who believe, you know, you should pay low taxes so you can keep as much money in your pocket as you can. But the, you know, Republican government in Marion, you know, they're not doing a great job at making sure that people are getting money to put in their pocket in the first place. And people love to complain. But, you know, we had 25% voter turnout this year. In 23, it was a little higher because of the special elections. But, you know, voter turnout in Marion for municipal off-year races is normally around 25%. And nobody comes to vote. Or everyone just blindly votes for the Republican because that's the party that, you know, you like Trump, so you're going to vote Republican down the line. When the Republicans in the city are the ones who have shown of course, I'm a Democrat, so this is my opinion, but that they are not as responsible with the city's finances as the Democrats or independents might be. So, but no one's paying attention to the root of their problem. So, of course, nothing will change and people will continue to be unhappy with their government. So that's a huge side effect of people not paying attention, is that their government officials will not do what they want them to do.
Well, the mayor said Monday night, I was there during the committee meeting, this is all the auditor's fault.
Now, this has been going on since early last year with the pay, with the stuff to do with payroll, and the mayor certainly hasn't been asleep. I'm sure there's regular there's got to be regular communication between the mayor and the other executives. Why couldn't he have stepped in earlier?
I don't think there is communication.
Okay,
depends on what time you what part of the day you ask.
That's your first problem. Are they in a rocky personal relationship? Like, they're both 17 years old and they're both, you know, like, not trying to avoid each other? Like, you were both elected to serve the city. Like, you're supposed to put these differences aside. And
Monday night, City Councilwoman Lang said the auditor's an elected position, the mayor's an elected position, and council's an elected position. We stay in our own lanes.
You know, yeah, you're supposed to. The thing that, you know, rubs me the wrong way about that is, yeah, there's, you know, the various branches. There's the executive, there's the legislative. But at the same time, you know, like, it's okay for the mayor to nudge the the mayor could have nudged the auditor in June or July. And, you know, we've been having problems getting in touch with ADP. Is there anything that I can help you? You know, I'm the mayor. I think mayor of Marion has more weight to it than auditor of Marion. And this might not be true, but to our public knowledge, he didn't do that. You know, the mayor could have stepped in long ago, and perhaps, you know, we could have gotten this resolved. I know you said this on your show the other day when I called last, but a lot of this, you know, when people discuss it at council meetings, it's like the first time they're talking about it, whereas good government, good public administrators and public officials discuss things behind the scenes before it all comes out into public. The mayor and the auditor could have put their personal dislike for each other aside several months ago behind the scenes, gotten together, and got our city employees on a payroll system that works. And that's not the case, and people are, you know, people couldn't buy Christmas presents for their kids.
Well, it's a messy situation. And it's also a messy situation that we're already at the break. Christian Pearson's the guest. We'll come back after this short but important break.
Residuals, I didn't see that. I got a residual for 3 cents.
Jeez.
And one for 9.